This is Kevin Russell playing the Ted Hawkins song, Sorry You're Sick.
Good morning, my darling, I'm telling you this to let you know that I'm sorry you're sick. Tears of sorrow would not do you no good. I'd be a doctor if only I could. What do you want from the liquor store? Something sour or something sweet? I buy you all that your belly can hold. You can be sure you won't suffer no more. I swim the ocean or the deepest canal to get to you, darling, just to make you well. There's no place on earth I would not hasten to go to cure the fever, this I want you to know. What do you want from the liquor store? Something sour or something sweet? I buy you all that your belly can hold. You can't be sure you won't suffer no more. If only the doctor would just hurry and show. There's quite a few places I know we could go. I was okay, but these words from you, stating you're sick, they made me sick too. What do you want from the liquor store? Something sour or something sweet? I buy you all that your belly can hold. You can't be sure you won't suffer no more. You can't be sure you won't. Rest, I won't prolong your flight. What do you want from the liquor store? What do you want from the liquor store? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? I say, what do you want from the liquor store? Something sour or something sweet? I buy you all that your belly can hold. Sure you won't suffer no more.
Thank you. Wow.
Heck yeah.
So that is Kevin Russell of Shiny Ribs. I'm Allie Lightfoot, and I'm here with DJ Willie Chicken.
Hello.
Welcome to Talking Music.
Hey, it's good to be here talking music. Love talking music. That's all I do all the time is talk music.
Good. Let's talk some music.
All right.
Tell me about that song.
That is a Ted Hawkins song. Ted Hawkins, a great street singer, originally from Mississippi, I believe, but he worked his way out to California over his lifetime and lived and played as a busker for a living on the beach there. And he was well known in that community that he played in. And then he was discovered a couple of different times. People discovered him, quote unquote, mm-hmm. discovered him.
Right.
And recorded him. So he did two records on Rounder Records in the 80s. The first one, which is one of my favorite records of all time, called Watch Your Step, that song is on. Great record. I suggest everybody get that record. And then Happy Hour, which is a great record as well, after that. And then kind of faded and went back to his ways. I don't think he cared for the music business much. And then he was rediscovered again by David Geffen.
Oh, that's a good person to rediscover.
Yeah, in the early 90s, I think it might have been 91, 92, Geffen Records, which was huge at the time because they had all that money from Nirvana coming in, you know. Mm-hmm. So they were doing a lot of vanity projects, and he was one of them. And they had everybody in the world play with him. I think even Carlos Santana is on the records, one of the all-star bands. And honestly, he lost something, you know. It was like way too all-star.
Yeah.
Band sounding, and it was like way too good. It's like, no, that's not how Ted Hawkins
is
supposed to be, and I don't think he liked it much either. And then he died of I don't know if it was a brain cancer or an aneurysm shortly after that record came out. And so he could have ended up being a big star. He had an amazing voice. I like him between Sam Cooke and Otis Redding somewhere, his voice. Big influence on me.
Do you think he went back to playing the streets after he made that record?
I know. I think he toured, you know, and he actually came to Austin. I had a chance to see him, the only chance I ever had a chance to see him, and it was when the Gourds, my old band, had just started playing, and we had one of our first gigs, and we were like, we got to play the gig, man. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't be canceling gigs to go see shows. Yeah. We have to be serious. And I regret not going to that show, because he died not long after that.
So your previous band was the alt country band, the Gourds, and one of the songs that the Gourds were famous for and the fans would demand was your version of Snoop Dogg's Gin and Juice. Mm-hmm. And then Shiny Ribs is known for, you know, covering songs like Waterfall by TLC and Jimi Hendrix on ukulele, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of elements of contradiction in your music.
Absolutely.
And which I love because it always adds an element of surprise.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Did you always have fun with that?
I always have. Yeah. I don't know where I got that. I've always done crazy covers ever since I've ever started playing music. It's just fun to do, you know. It's for 3 minutes or more, you know, you get to pretend you're Jimi Hendrix, you know. It's kind of like playing make-believe when I was a kid. I'm still doing it to a certain degree when I play a cover song.
So you started out in biker bars in Louisiana. You found your calling in
Louisiana.
That's
when I first started playing music. And I was born in Beaumont, Texas, southeast Texas, near Houston, kind of between Houston and the Louisiana border there. And in the Golden Triangle, where they make all the, it's like chemical plants and refineries. Mm-hmm. It's where they made Agent Orange for Vietnam. It's a pretty wicked, bizarre place.
Yeah.
Beautiful place. It's incredible. The marshlands and the flora and fauna there are incredible. It's a swamp, basically. Uh-huh. And then there's all these refineries everywhere. It's the only county in Texas that votes Democrat every election is Jefferson County there, except for Travis County, where Austin is. You can just look on the map and you can see the sea of red, and there's the two little blue spots. My dad was in the oil business and moved around quite a bit in the 80s. Boom and bust would move the family. So the final move was, before I was able to leave home, was Shreveport, and that's where I started playing in bars when I was about 17. The drinking age there at the time was 18, so I could get away with that. But I was, you know, still in high school and playing in the Cafe Directoire, which was a biker bar in downtown Shreveport, Louisiana. And, that's where I started. And I wouldn't change anything for the world. It's been quite a journey.
Is that all you did when you were 17, or did you have other jobs?
I worked at a pizza place, Johnny's Pizza, which is in Louisiana there. It's a chain of pizza stores. And, that's where I met all my friends working at the pizza place, and band guys, people I played music with, I met there. And we started playing music around Shreveport.
How did that venue, I guess, shape who you are as a musician? Like,
I think it helped me work through the feeling that, I mean, writing my own songs, doing original material was okay. That even if you're in a biker bar, people will appreciate a good song, even if they don't know the song. And also playing, you know, cover songs like Stevie Ray Vaughan songs, which were big at the time, and Jimi Hendrix stuff, and typical biker bar fare.
Yeah.
So having to please a crowd and sneak some of the original material in there, it helped me work, just get better, you know. The more you play, the better you get, you know. And it's so that's what's the main effect on me, I think, is having just a stage that we could play in front of people. Then the people didn't really care what we did, you know. So you were kind of free. But if you did something cool, they would react. So it was a neat situation.
So you've said that you write a lot of songs. To quote you, you've said that you write gobs and gobs, and they're buried in your yard and shoved into junk drawers
in the
garage and sleeping in your shoes,
yes,
and in your toaster and everywhere. What about a song will you know, allow you to bring it to the light of day? Like, in your mind, what makes a good song?
That's a good question. You know, I mean, I tend to write for the band that I'm in. I write for the musicians I play with those people in mind. So that's usually, unless it's just a great song and I feel like I want to play it for people, you know, that happens too, where it's just like, wow, that's great. That's exactly the way I want it to be. But, you know, I was just writing songs this last couple of days. We were over in Ridgeway staying at a friend's house, and I just holed up. We came up with music late at night, you know, we were jamming and stuff. And then the next morning I'd spend writing words to it, putting words into the music that we came up with. And now I was thinking about that. I was like, which one of these will I do? There's a couple of songs that I wrote, and it's like, I don't know which one to do, but you know, I think the funkier one's going to be better for this band, and it'll probably be more likely I'd choose to do that one. You know, I could do the other one later, but it wasn't, I don't know, there's something about a song that it moves you, and it may, you know, like, I think that's going to be awesome, and you want to hear the band play it. Then I'll play solo shows, and that's when I usually play a lot of stuff that I don't normally play with the band. And I'll usually pick things that are more important to me personally, you know, certain songs that mean something to me, or that I think it'd just be fun to play because people have not heard some of these songs much. So that'll be a determining factor sometimes. It's just that it seems rare to me that I play a certain song that I like. And I've had songs that have been sitting around for years and never seen the light of day. They are good songs. I just found one. I lost this song that when Ray Price died, I had written this song called Bye Bye Ray Ray on the piano. And I remember it being really good. And I was like, I didn't know. I knew I recorded it, but I didn't know where it was. You know, I could not find it anywhere. So I was on this trip. I've been going through all of my voice memo recordings on my phone. And I finally found that song. I was so excited. And I played it for everybody in the van. I was like, I found it. I found it. And they were all like, I can't understand what you're saying. Like, yeah, I know.
It's not a very good recording.
It's not a great recording. But anyway, it'll be good. Trust me.
Cool. Well, we'd love to hear another song if we
can. Yeah, sure, sure.
Great. And we're here with Kevin Russell.
I love to play this song. It's a Bing Crosby song. I love Bing Crosby. Well, the blue of the night meets the gold of the day. Someone waits for me, and the gold of her hair meets the blue of her eyes like a halo, tenderly. If only I could see. Oh, how happy could one man be? Where the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, someone waits for me. Boom, 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 boom. If only I could see her, oh, how happy could one man be? Where the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, someone waits for me.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
I love Bing Crosby.
That makes me want to be on a beach.
Feel it.
And that was Kevin Russell of Shiny Ribs. He's in town to play in the park. And this is Allie and
Willie Chicken.
Willie Chicken, DJ Willie Chicken in the house.
That's right.
So what do you do when you're not touring?
Well, I'm at home with my kids most of the time, you know. We just moved to a new house in Austin, so upgrade a little bit. Got us a swimming pool. I got teenagers, so I think it's going to be a good thing to have a swimming pool. But I've been trying to. I've never had a swimming pool in my life, so I'm trying to learn how to take care of one of those. And that's not the easiest thing to do, is try not to lose control. Don't want it to turn green.
So how has the music in Texas changed since you've been, like, how has the scene changed, I should say, since you've been there? And what keeps you there? Because you've been there a while.
Yeah. So the music scene in Texas has changed a lot since I've been there. I mean, when I used to be more of a punk rock guy, and it was mostly like indie scene I came from when I was early days. And then at some point, like, the Texas country scene became huge. It was really had to do with Robert Earl Keen and Pat Green, and those guys tapped into an audience there that, you know, no one had ever really, I mean, thought about it. I don't think tapping into that as much. Maybe Jerry Jeff was maybe a model for them, you know, and Willie Nelson. But it became done in a bit. It's being done in a big way now by a lot of bands in Texas. And that scene is under, it's the Red Dirt scene is unto itself, its own scene, its own social structure, politics is all. And so they've embraced Shiny Ribs, you know, which is pretty cool. And they're all nice people. They all turn out to be super nice people. There's no, like, talking behind each other's back or no, like, really stuff that I was used to among a lot of music scenes I've been part of. There was nobody wished anybody ill will. Everybody was, like, positive and supported everybody, and everybody saw the big picture that they're all in this together, and if they do well, if this guy does well, then I'll do well, then they'll do well. Everybody does well, you know.
Right.
So, and we're all kind of helping each other create a bigger market to work in. It's kind of the idea. So I was really amazed. It was the closest thing to a functioning anarchy I've ever been part of.
I think that's the goal.
That's the goal. I think so. Texas is a right wing state. Not kind of. It's a right wing state. And, you know, some of those people are so far right at this point. They're trying to outdo each other. That's another Texan trait. We're competing, right? There's people competing to see who's more right wing than the other guy. So that's when you get the people walking around with their guns into Waffle Houses and stuff, because they want to show that they're more right-wing than the other right-wing. So they can call the other people names, you know. It's bizarre, but now it's like we've got this libertarian fringe thing that's going on in Texas that I don't know what it means, but it's always been there, and it's just growing, it seems, that these people are like, they want to be completely, you know, left alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, well, it's not a bad thing. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's a good thing either.
Right.
You have to function like within society. So.
Do you think that they could ever be so right that they come full circle and they're left?
I think so. I mean, I'm waiting for that day. It's got to happen.
Before.
It's got to happen where somewhere, you know, Edward Abbey and I don't know who's the most far right guy I know. my dad will meet somewhere.
I hope so.
I mean, be careful what we ask for. I mean, you know, who knows? If the Earth Firsters and the Libertarians formed a coalition, who knows what would happen? I don't know what would happen. I mean, that's kind of what I thought Ron Paul was sort of in that ballpark.
Yeah.
You know?
He might bring
those
two together.
There was a moment he was appealing to the left. Although I told my lefty friends, I was like, I don't think you want that guy to be. You're not going to like what he does if he becomes president. You're not going to like it. He's going to cut everything, you know. But, so, I don't know. It's an interesting time politically to be alive, for sure. It's so polarized that I just feel like I can't get more, and it gets more every day.
Yeah.
Something's got to give.
Do you think that makes good art, though?
Yeah, it does. I often tell people, you know, living in Texas, I mean, you have to find a way to create within that. I mean, it is a bit culturally... You know, the weather is extreme. The politics are extreme. The people themselves are pretty extreme. a lot of them, you know. I mean, there's all kind of people there. But just the whole cultural, socioeconomic thing that's going on where I live is pretty extreme. And Austin is this big boom town that's like full of California money. And it's booming. There's so much money there. It's extreme. You know, there were so many extremes in Texas and where I live. And I feel like, you know, what I'm doing is going inside and just making my art the way I can make it and do the best I can and trying to transcend that with a song. Just play a song and transcend that whole, the whole extremity of my experience in the outside world. And when I can accomplish it, it feels good. It does. It happens from time to time.
Well, it seems like you're pretty rooted.
Yeah, I'm very rooted. That's a good thing. Yeah, I mean, the wife and kids keep me.
And your parents are from Texas.
And my parents are from Texas, yeah. Yeah, and they're extreme crazy people, too. Yeah. I mean, really, I had to delete a comment from my mom on my Facebook. It was, like, so over the top. I was like, Mom.
She does defriend her or something.
I don't want to have to defriend your mom.
Didn't have to come to that. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I just can't imagine living. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got married and had kids, and like, I'm not going to uproot my family from where they live because they love where they live. They got all their friends, and that's where all my friends are. And you know, it's just you have roots in a place and you stay there. I mean, there are places I go, like being in Ridgeway for 2 days, I was just like, I can get used mm-hmm. to this. This is great, you know. Just incredible. So, but I know the fact is I have to stay in Texas, you know. At least till the kids are grown and move off. And maybe they'll move to Colorado and come visit them.
Yeah, there you go. Do they play music?
Yeah, they play a little music. They're all musical people and they love music. There's a few things we'll listen to together, like Boozoo, Chavez, James Brown, that kind of music. Usually Zydeco or funk, soul music we can all listen to together. We all like it. And they love James Brown as much as I do. But the other night, I got this video from a friend. It was James Brown from a David Letterman performance he did in like 1982, maybe 81. Oh, man, it was amazing. It blew my mind. I was just watching it. And I got this new smart TV, so I was like, I could do YouTube. So I was like YouTube and every James Brown. Got on a James Brown YouTube binge. And no, there was nobody in the living room with me. I was like, everybody was off in their rooms. I was like, somebody come here for this. Everyone's James Brown with me. Somebody. No takers. And I turned James Brown off and, you know, turned the TV off. Like three or four of them came walking in. I was like, really?
It was just you and YouTube, huh?
That's right, just me and YouTube. It happens sometimes.
And James
yeah.
Brown.
And James, yeah. Yeah, no, I didn't.
He was there.
I had a blast. I was watching James Brown. Yeah. So,
good.
Yeah. So, my daughter plays viola, and she's more likely of all of them to like come grab a guitar and go in her room and learn a song, you know. She's got a friend who has a killer voice, and so she'll learn to play the song, and her friend will sing it. They've threatened to do talent shows, you know, which I would be beside myself uh-huh. if she were to do that. Because I, like, sit outside her room listening because it's so exciting to me mm-hmm. to hear my daughter playing the guitar. But, you know, she's like, Dad. What? What, Dad? I was like, I just want to hear. You play it for me. She's like, no.
Right.
So I was like that, too. When I was young, it's like, I was so embarrassed to be playing music around my family, you know, like yeah. hide in my room and play. It's like if somebody walk in, I just stop. And I'm still that way a little bit when I'm by myself playing. It's like I'm doing something, you know, and people walk in, it just breaks the whole vibe, you know.
It's kind of personal.
It's a little bit personal, mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I had a question about that. Like your voice is just so great.
Thank you.
Like, so you yodel, mm-hmm. you croon.
Yeah.
You're all over the place.
That's right. That's right.
And was yeah. that did you just open your mouth and start doing that?
It took years of singing and just becoming less inhibited and unafraid to sure. try, you know, and mm-hmm. let myself be who everything I could be. And that's the key, you know. It's like, that's what I want to inspire people to do is, like, you see what I can do. I'm just this tubby, pasty guy, you know.
With a nice shirt, though.
Yeah, it's a nice shirt. Don't look too close at the collar, though. but I dance in my shows. You'll see I dance, and I love to do it. And it's like, I shouldn't be doing it. It's ridiculous.
No. I think it'll fit right in.
And people love it.
You.
And it's like, you know, it's such a great thing when you get to a point in your life, if you can get to a point in your life, you know, when you're uninhibited and you don't feel hemmed in by yourself, you know, it's all within you. That mm-hmm. You're keeping yourself from certain things. We're all keeping ourselves from achieving the potential that we... Now I'm turning to Tony Robbins. I don't mean to do that.
No,
but
no, that's great.
No, I like
it's
it.
But there is truth.
Reminder.
There is truth to it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to me, that's the most important thing in anybody's life. You know, I hope that everybody can achieve that, but I feel like to a certain degree I have. I mean, I certainly never stop learning and trying to be a better person and have more fun, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's what Shiny Ribs is really about for me, is just letting it all hang out.
And then when you come up with these songs, you just write every day. Do you ever just spring them on your band and play them that night?
I've tried, yeah. In the early days, I did that a lot. It was trial by fire. It was basically, there was no rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to play a song. You better just catch wash my hands. And so we've got a really great show now that we've been doing for a while. And so that stuff doesn't go on a lot. We'll rehearse some things and sound checks, and maybe we'll spring something in the show if everybody feels like they can follow it and they're comfortable enough with it. I don't put too many people on the spot anymore, but sometimes there'll be a birthday in the audience and we'll make up a birthday song on the spot. And so the band can follow me if I'm making stuff up as we go. And they like to try and guess what the next change is going to be. They know me well enough. They're getting better at it. That they know I'm going to go to a 4 or a 5 when I'm going to go there, or a minor thing. So it's cool. It's a great band, and we're having a lot of fun together. Yeah.
I can tell it's infectious, too.
It is, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for coming down here, Kevin.
Pleasure. Love it. Thanks for having me.
Can you play one more?
Sure. I'd love to.
Right on.
Let's see what I'll do. I should do the old Gord song. That'd probably be good. This is about all the states in the lower 48. For my friend J.R. Ruth up in Missoula, Montana.
Nevada, Wisconsin, and Oregon, and now Kansas, Iowa, and Washington, New Hampshire, New York, New Jersey, New Mexico, North Dakota, South Dakota, Colorado, yeah. Wake up, lads, we're running late. Racking my rig in the lower 48. Wake up, lads, we're running late. Racking my rig in the lower 48. Racking my rig in the lower 48.